One credit ratings agency tells France it's under the microscope.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, Moody's told France, which is one of Europe's biggest economies, by the way, that its top AAA credit rating is being reviewed and could be given a negative outlook because the country's financial strength, quote, has weakened. That's got European leaders scrambling even more to come up with a solution to the European debt crisis. And soon, reporter Christopher Worth has more from London.
It may just be a warning on France's credit rating, but it speaks volumes about a plan being hammered out to restore confidence in the eurozone. Part of the plan would force European banks to take losses on bad debt from Greece. Moody's is concerned about how those losses would hit French banks. And Philip White of the Center for European Reform says it doesn't stop there.
French banks have large exposures not just to Greece, but also to Spain and Italy. And of course, the numbers for Spain and Italy are much larger than they are for Greece.
European leaders have promised a deal to solve the debt crisis by the end of the week. In the end, it may be the rating agencies they have to please most. Any downgrade or negative outlook will raise borrowing costs, the last thing France or any other European country needs. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now by about 0.25%. The Dow is up 30 points. That's about 0.25% at 11,427. Same for the NASDAQ, up about, 0.3%. The S&P 500 up about 0.5%. European shares are mixed at the moment. Asian markets were down today. Hong Kong by more than 4%. Home builder sentiment in this country was up this month to its highest level in a year and a half, according to the National Association of Home Builders. Wholesale prices rose in September by 0.8%. Most of that was food and gasoline. Research in Motion, the maker of the BlackBerry, kicks off its annual developers conference today here on the West Coast in San Francisco. The future of the company is up in the air. So that company is now targeting an important community to hold on to its market share, app developers. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Turns out the crackberry is a habit the modern technophile can kick. It's been a rough patch for Research in Motion. There were those service interruptions for millions. Apple launched its latest iPhone, which has already become one of the fastest-selling gadgets in history. And for software developers, there just aren't a lot of reasons these days to build apps for the BlackBerry. Blame the iPhone.
91% of developers said that they were very interested in the iPhone.
Scott Schwartzhoff is vice president at AppCelerator. He says all those developers make the iPhone fun, productive, and entertaining. Thousands of apps could do almost anything you could imagine. With a BlackBerry, not so much.
The BlackBerry phone, which is clear down the list, 28% saying that they're very interested in the platform.
Schwartzhoff says RIM is in serious trouble, unless it can unveil some interesting new phones soon and get developers on board. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
A couple of big banks came out with their earnings today. Goldman Sachs swung to a near $500 million loss for only the second time in its history, blamed on sharp drops in the value of its investment securities. Better news, though, from Bank of America, which said it made about $6 billion last quarter, thanks in part to the sale of its stake in a Chinese construction bank.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at NovoNordisk-US.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Justin Bieber's new Christmas single is out today. Yeah, I know, it's October 18th. His full Christmas album, Under the Mistletoe, will be out in a couple of weeks. As Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports, holiday albums like this make nice stocking stuffers for the music industry.
Justin Bieber wants to cozy up this holiday season. And who can blame him?
Everybody's still demanding holiday records.
David Bakula is a VP of analytics at the Nielsen Company.
You know, if you look at last year's top sellers, the number five record of the year for the entire year last year was Susan Boyle's holiday record. You know, and you're talking about a record here that came out the first week of November.
The thing with holiday music is that we still buy whole albums, We buy CDs even. Aram Sinreich is a media professor at Rutgers University.
Holiday music looks more like the music industry did back in the 1990s.
Why? Well, because a lot of these albums are sold as presents.
People prefer to get gifts that are actually material. Nobody wants to open a box and see nothing inside it and someone say, oh, well, what I got you is just a bunch of ones and zeros. Don't worry, it'll show up on your computer tomorrow.
Big sales of whole albums aren't the only reasons artists rush to belt out Jingle Bells and Oh Holy Night. Sean Ross is the VP of Music and Programming for Edison Research. He says a couple of decades ago, studios had an epiphany.
Holiday albums were a good way to sell records by artists who weren't top of mind anymore in pop culture and who didn't necessarily get a lot of radio airplay.
Think Neil Diamond, Wilson Phillips, Amy Grant, even Mariah Carey, whose modern standard, All I Want for Christmas Is You, is likely no more than a month away from your radio dial. Okay, less than a month. A lot less. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
That's going to be in my head all day. Finally, Saturday Night Live spoofed New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg over the weekend about the protests. Those protests going on in New York?
Occupy Wall Street, I'm on your side. Come to New York and let your voice be heard. You'll be treated with dignity and respect by the city and the police. With one caveat. The second, and I mean the second I see a demonstrator lighting up a cigarette, we're moving in.
Bloomberg was played by cast member Fred Armisen, but the mayor says next time SNL does a skit involving him, he wants to play the role. Bloomberg tells the New York Post he has a Screen Actors Guild card and everything, and that he would love to negotiate with the producers over how much money he would get paid. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. We're online at marketplace.org. Get the podcast. Share your thoughts with us, too, marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Standardized testing. Love it or hate it, it's part of the curriculum. But what happens now that teachers have skin in the game?
A bunch of students had left a number of questions blank, and then they all, on the last seven questions of the exam, had given the exact same answers. It certainly looked like someone else had maybe filled in the answers for them.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, another installment of Freakonomics Radio. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.